The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed on this program are not the views of 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, right now. On 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle live in studio, waiting to take your calls on this beautiful, clear, sunshine day. A little cold outside, but nevertheless, it's nice to see the sunshine again. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Let's talk about your things and see what we can do to make a difference with your health without drugs and surgery. Isn't that amazing? You know, without drugs, without surgery, your body is this amazing healing machine. The natural state of health is wellness. The natural state that you were given by your creator is one that should be optimal all the time. We're the ones that mess it up. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today. There's several different things that I'd like to go over with you and also to entertain anything that you'd like to talk about. But before I get into that, I walked into the studio today and unfortunately was greeted with some very sad information. And I want to share that with you. And unfortunately, life has its terminal pieces. A stalwart of WMAL, Mike McKay, passed away last Friday. Mike was a dear friend. I've known Mike for many, many years. An incredible human being, technical director of the Chris Plant Show. He put the soundtracks in. But Mike's been in radio for many, many years, and he's someone that everybody has learned to rely upon, just a very open and friendly and wonderful human being. We'll talk a little bit more about that later, but Mike is, to say the least, is going to be missed extraordinarily. He was a very solid human being, somebody that you can totally depend on. Whatever he said was, we're going to miss you, Mike. 888-630-9625. That's how you find me here. Let's talk about a couple things that are out there in the media today. I want to talk about the brain a little bit more and what happens. And, you know, we're in allergy season, and coming up in at the Rozelle Center for Healing in a couple of weeks, we're going to have a program on that. I think probably it's next week. But nevertheless, we're going to talk a little bit about those things today. When it comes to your brain, you have to understand that that's your computer. That's what rules everything. It allows you to move your fingers, wiggle your toes, breathe, let your heart move. It allows you to bend. It allows you to reflex away from something that is dangerous. It allows you to consciously do certain things and control your body function. And, you know, when the brain isn't working, we can have everything from pain patterns that just don't seem to go away, even though that it was your knee that was hurt. When your brain doesn't work the way it's supposed to, you can lose hearing and vision. And sometimes there wasn't even an impact. There wasn't even damage that you think about that caused the problem. The other day I had a patient that walked into the office with a kind of a Pandora's box of many different conditions. And it was very one-sided in her expression of her symptomological presentation. Weakness, not able to go up or down stairs, had to pull herself up on one side, dizziness that would occur. If I had her close her eyes in a standing position, she would fall to that side, and multiple pieces. But her complaint primarily was low back and leg pain. And so we talked about, you know, things, what had happened and so forth. And I, you know, through the examination process, I said, you had an injury to the right back side of your brain. She says, no, I've never been hit in my head. Nothing's ever happened. I said, think again. Think about it. And we began to kind of lift the layers off a little bit, and she was suddenly reminded that there was an injury, that she was in a car accident, and it only occurred about 15, 20 miles an hour. She was a passenger in the car, and she happened to have her head smacked against the right side of the window, not thinking anything of it at the time because there wasn't that much of an impact. But it was several years back, but it was about a year before her symptoms began to present themselves. So little things that we kind of set aside sometimes portray huge problems. So we're going to talk about the brain and how that works, and we're going to talk about concussions a little bit more. You know, we've talked about concussions in previous programs, and particularly when it comes to contact sports. But sometimes concussive problems that affect the body globally are so subtle and so important that we don't think to correlate the two. You know, they're subtle, so why should they be important? But if they were important, then they wouldn't be subtle, right? Well, not necessarily so. You know, when you take a look at high school kids and grade school kids and NFL and the NBA and all those, you would think that the majority of concussive problems happen in professional sports, colleges, and so forth. But it's not true. They start early on, and they start outside the sport. See, these guys, even though that they're getting very serious concussive injuries that cause them to debilitate over a period of many years and lose their capacity often from mental acuity to motor function and so forth, the majority of these things are stacked one on top of the other and start at a much early age. And they go all the way down to grade school and high school experiences, and not just football. It has to be a cross correlation between things like lacrosse and soccer and basketball and things of that nature. And kids tumble and they fight, the natural course of things. Now, most of these things can be preventative and treated properly if they're recognized. The problem is that we don't recognize them. But here's the deal. Twice as many concussions happen in the high school level from they're talking about grade 8, 9, all the way up to seniors in high school, twice as many than in college. Now, why is that? Is it because of lack of preparedness? Is it because of the susceptibility of the brain at that age? Or is it because as you get into college and professional sports that they're more prepared, they're stronger, and the equipment is better? Well, we can probably touch on every one of those things and draw an analysis, a conclusion, if you will, that they're all right. There's over 5 million concussions that take place in the United States, and the highest growth rate, the highest level of expansion in those concussive areas are ages 10 to 14. Now, we're talking about kids in the upper ends of elementary school, from 10 to 14. So why is that true? What's going on? 70% of high school athletes are back on the field, and they play. Now, we're not talking about just football, but they're back on the field, and despite the fact that they have symptoms of a concussion. That's not okay. And we're looking at the ability to identify things instead of just setting them aside. So here's the problem. The medical approach to identifying concussion is very minimal. Take a look at the eyes. You know, will the eyes react to light or not? That can be a shock pattern and not just a concussive state, or it can be a concussive state and the eyes will still react, or the person's not trained adequately enough to really diagnose the immediate, or the child says, I'm fine, there's nothing wrong with me, I want to go back in, or the parent says, there's nothing wrong with my kid, put the kid back in and let them play. There's limited data across the board on the ability of a child to be able to play or return to play, if you will, when they reach certain checkpoints and criteria. Unfortunately, it's usually, you know, well, we'll just watch it and take these aspirin in, you know, whatever, or some other NSAID. Now, here's the problem. NSAIDs, aspirin, any of the non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, that's what NSAID stands for, has to be used extremely cautiously. And unfortunately, the guideline should be don't give anything. And the reason that you don't give anything is that if there is concussion, which is a bleed, by the way, remember concussion means there's a bleed, small or large, in the brain, that these things will cause further bleeding and subsequently cause the problem to be worse. So now if you cause further bleeding, you're going to have further damage to the tissue. Maybe it goes away relative to that impact, but they stack on top of each other over a period of time. So, and then the next piece is that they start prescribing medications like amitriptyline and gabapentin and things like that. These are drugs that are often used for migraine types of things, and they have huge side effects from drowsiness to headaches and cognitive disturbance, identity problems, not knowing, who things are, who they are, difficulty in speech, breathing problems, and even vomiting of blood. These are all side effects of those drugs. And tropamate is another one that's used, unfortunately, very, very often. So now we have this brain that has been beat up. We have this brain that is going to try to repair itself, particularly at a younger age, and, kid, suck it up and move on. And we don't want to put our kids in a bubble, but we have to be careful relative to what can take place. Now, brain injury patterns can be healed. The thing that you have to also realize is that skull, that hard, bony apparatus that protects the brain is 22 bones. And they all have, and they're these little plates, these little bones, have these sawtooth interdigitations that move millimetrically, microscopically, if you will, as you breathe in and as you breathe out. So when you take a trauma, when you take a blow to the head, these skull plates lock harder. They don't move. So what does that do? It causes an increase in pressure in the brain. Now you have the concussive pattern. You might have a little bit of a bleed. You've added aspirin to it, but now you've got cranial plates and upper vertebrae, bones of the neck, that don't move the way they're supposed to, putting more pressure, abnormal pressure, on the brain and the neurological system, altering many functions of the body, not only from the obvious of respiration and heart and so forth, but also learning patterns, also perceptibility, also recognition patterns and so forth. And they seem to accumulate. And we start identifying kids now then as learning disabled or ADD or ADHD. And many ADHD patterns, right, kids that are bouncing all over the place, are a result of the body's natural attempt to move, to pump spinal fluid, because the cranial plates and the structural system of the body are not moving the way they were designed to naturally. So the patient gets up and moves to try to help themselves in an unconscious way that the body goes through in a fail-safe to try to move that spinal fluid. So when you have any kind of cranial impact, when you look at somebody, and take a look at somebody's face, right? The face is not symmetrical, by the way, if you draw a line down the middle of the forehead through the nose and the chin and look at one side and look at the other side. But there should be similarities in the eyes. The orbits of the eyes should be similar in size, but sometimes they're not. And when you see an eye that's really big on one side or really narrow on another side, you see one side very prominent compared to the other side, those are called cranial faults. And that means that the skull bones are not moving the way they're supposed to. So why is that important? Because now your spinal fluid's not going to move. You're going to put pressure on the brain. You're going to increase all the things that we just talked about long-term, causing incoordination in the body and ultimately pain. We're going to talk about how these things develop, because they can happen very slowly. They can cause digestive problems. They can cause a leaky gut pattern. They can cause irregular heartbeat. They can cause other extremity issues just because of an impact in the brain. So I think this is really important. It's something that we kind of set aside. Particularly, we're going into allergy seasons. This is another thing that can cause the issues. But we don't think it's important because we're set aside relative to traditional diagnostics and outcome studies. So we're going to talk about the brain more today and how it impacts your life. It's going to be a very interesting program, particularly as gorgeous outside. So don't go away. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. I'll be right back. This is Dr. Tom Rozell, author of Ageless Health, Health Is a Do-It-Yourself Program. My book, now also available in audio version, is a step-by-step program of how to take control of your health and wellness without drugs or needless surgery. You have the capacity to change your health and level of well-being. Take control of your health today and order Health Is a Do-It-Yourself Program.
For more information and to order, please visit agelesshealthbook.com. That's agelesshealthbook.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozell here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live in studio. It's beautiful outside. What a gorgeous day, huh? The sun is out. Everything is very, very fine. It's starting to get warmer, too. That's the beautiful thing. Let's keep your fingers crossed and we don't get any more of this silliness that's been going on for a while. Kind of crazy, right? 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you on anything that you have on your mind. Let's kind of put a different light on the subject, if you will. We're talking about brain concussion patterns, and we're going to get into toxic reactions and things of that nature. But, you know, did you know that any kind of mild concussion can increase your risk of a tear of your knee, an ACL or meniscus tear, by 4 times? Did you know that? That's amazing to me. Also, it can increase your risk of having elbow problems dramatically, and the risk of having something called Tommy John's surgery. That's a unilateral reconstruction of the ligaments of the elbow. Then we can go into leaky gut syndrome. And what's that mean? That means that your intestinal tract now reabsorbs things much faster without fully having them broken down, and also the toxins that are associated with your body's autoimmune system can't be handled properly, and all the stuff goes in, causes inflammatory reactions, cause you to be sick, cause you to hurt, and so it changes the way you digest anything, all because you got hit in the head. You know, adhesions throughout the body, because your body now mechanically is not working the way it's supposed to. If you have a right-sided impact, your left side can be affected as well as your right, because the lower extremity of the body is affected by the portion of the brain on the opposite side. It's craziness, right? And then you have concussion roulette. You are more susceptible to a second concussion once you've had a first. And that's simply because of the damage that occurs to the integrity of the blood vessels. So we're talking about serious situations here that we have a tendency to set aside and not look at. How many of you have busted your head on something? You know, you come up and you hit your head on a cabinet, on the trunk of your car. You've turned around and smacked into the side of a wall or something, and it stayed sore for a while. You get a knot in that area. Those can be mild concussive impacts, not only that cause bleeding and swelling of the brain, but it also can cause those cranial plates, those bones of the skull that we talked about, to lock. And now suddenly, over a period of time, slowly, maybe not for a year, maybe 6 months, maybe a little longer, you start having symptoms that you can't figure out what happened, where it came from, or, you know, what the triggering mechanisms were, until you go back and you get somebody like me to start asking the questions. Did you know that if you have a concussion, even a mild concussion, that can begin to, you can begin to lose your cognitive capacity, your ability to remember information, your ability to correlate things one to the other? Head injuries have long-lasting effects. You know, not just at the time that you get them and because of the mechanical thing, but also relative to your capacity to learn not only in the classroom, but in the workspace as well. You know, when it comes to concussions, the biggest question, especially, you know, if you're a parent, but also for ourselves, is whether or not, you know, you should continue in impact sports, you know, of any kind. A lot of us still like to get out and bust it around a little bit. You know, we do martial arts, or we ski, or so forth. You know, do we have to ski with jeopardy and afraid that we're going to take a fall and hit our head? You know, do we want to give up that soccer workout that we do on a regular basis? It's important, but the better question is there a way to fix this? And we can go all the way back to pediatric studies and so forth. And, you know, interestingly, in the Journal of Pediatrics, a postdoctoral fellowship in neuropsychology published a interesting article and said that concussions makes people who have concussions experience more problems in concentrating. And it doesn't have to be significant impact. It can be a little impact. It doesn't have to be from sports. That's one of the reasons that we're seeing more and more, if you will, symptomatic presentations when it comes to children than we ever have before. My thought process is not necessarily because there's more of them. My thought process is because we're more aware of them. And we're seeing and identifying things now that we didn't see and identify years ago, because we didn't have the tools, we didn't have the capacity to do that. So now we're able to say, oh, look at this. Well, kids are rough and tumble. You can't put them in a bubble. You know, you want to, complete them, hide them from the world? I don't think so. So the better question becomes, if I hit my head, if my child hits their head, if we start seeing symptoms, what should I do that can make a difference? Well, we know that the cranial plates, the bones of the head, can be realigned properly. We know that the vertebrae, that if they're out of position is going to cause a problem with spinal fluid function and motion, can be fixed. We know that there are really excellent anti-inflammatories that are natural and they're not drug-related, so they don't have the side effects, and we can make a difference with those. So there are many things that can be done to reverse the process. The problem comes when we ignore it and we don't become proactive, or when we acquiesce and we say, well, let's watch it and take these medications and let's see what happens ultimately. Well, we know what happens ultimately. We see greater degradation and breakdown within ourselves and our children. We're coming up to a break. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Don't go away.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live in studio. It's beautiful outside, and that's what I intend to do after I leave the studio. Let's go for a long walk. It's going to be very lovely. You all need to do the same. If you leave before the program's over, take your phone so you can listen to the rest of the program and give me a call. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. We're talking about the brain and the things that can happen as a result of you getting hit in the head. Not okay. You know, we put up with things, unfortunately, and we have a tendency to set things aside. I mean, let's see what happens. Or I'll take a couple aspirin and, you know, we'll see what the outcome is. Well, if you take a couple aspirin when you have a concussion, you're going to increase your risk of bleeding and increase the risk of making things worse. If you don't get the cranial plates of your skull looked at, if you don't get the structural pieces looked at, your body will continue to build pressure up, and you can have problems with your eyes from not only macular degeneration, but focusing problems. And, you know, when it comes to the eyes, here's an interesting thing that I want to bring to your attention. Your eyes, they have something called an optic chiasma, and that means part of the optic nerves crossover. One side of the brain controls the opposite side, so the left controls the right controls the left. And a lot of your central focusing, your ability to focus as you get closer in, is a result of injury and irritation to the upper portion of the neck and the lower portion of the brain. So knowing that, and if you've had a problem, if you had any kind of blow or trauma to one side, you're going to notice that the opposite eye possibly will not focus centrally the way it's supposed to. And we see that all the time, not only with kids, but with adults that have been dealing with this for long. As we get older, we see things change for a lot of reasons. Sometimes we lose function of the neck because you haven't seen a chiropractor, and you should see a chiropractor to keep your spine going the way it's supposed to. But when that takes place, it puts pressure on the covering of the brain and the cord, and that can cause irritation and problems to that portion of the optic chiasma, and so you lose your central focus. We could talk about this really for about 3 days. I mean, there's so many things, and we're learning more and more and more about how the brain works and the things that can be changed straight up, and how to keep the inflammatory levels under control and brought down. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. But I want you to be aware that don't just put up with it. Just don't ignore it. Do something about it. Get it checked out by somebody who knows what they're doing, understands cranial motion and upper cervical motion. All the docs at the Rozelle Center for Healing know how to look at these things and know how to look at them properly. Not only that, they can fix them. And it's something that you need to be aware of. Let's go to the phones. Carol, thank you for calling. How can I help you?
Yes, hi.
Hi.
I wanted to tell you and share with the audience my experience with a concussion. I had never in my life ever fallen. And what had happened was I was in my 30s, and it was a lot of ice on the in the parking lot, and I fell and hit my head really hard on the ground.
Ouch.
And I waited a few weeks before going to the doctor, and I went to the doctor, and the doctor didn't really pay much attention to it. And I just wanted to say, after listening to you, I wish I had gone to some specialists, because it took a couple of years before I got over the concussion.
You know, the thing of it is, Carol, you may not have gotten over it completely if there's still an embedded injury within the skull itself. How old are you?
Right now, I'm 50. And okay. What it also I wanted to say, I also have pseudotumor cerebri.
When did that show up? When did they diagnose you?
I think it showed up after the concussion, maybe a few years after the concussion.
Yeah, that was the point that I was going to try to bring out. We see things like that suddenly show up or be made much worse because of that type of injury, that impact. And that's why it's so important with any kind of blow or head injury or something that may have happened years ago that now begins to affect cognitive function, the ability to learn, balance, all of a sudden you have other injuries, arms and shoulders and so forth, things not working the way they're supposed to because the stabilization, which we call righting reflexes, are no longer intact. But even at this point, Carol, if you're having some problems, I would encourage you, have it checked. If there's anything that we can do, send us a note, and happily we'll take a look at it for you. But that's the type of thing that needs to be done. 888-630-9625, give us a call. That's very typical, by the way. That is very typical relative to injuries that have been ignored or any kind of real intimate look at have been put off for a period of time. It's important that you have a full examination, even for something that was a car accident that you got hit at 15, 20 miles an hour. You say, it's not a big deal. My neck's a little stiff. But in the case I brought up earlier where the patient hit her head on the window, was kind of, you know, ricocheted off only at 20 miles an hour, it was enough. It was enough to cause a problem. And those problems, you know, because we have a society that says we're going to put up with, deal with, over a period of time, it can really cause other types of things that we don't know where they come from until you get to somebody like us that can look at it. Let's continue along with, you know, the brain and things that we know about the brain and how things become worse and how they build up over a period of time. But meantime, call me 888-630-9625. Do you know, we live in a society right now that we're constantly being exposed to all kinds of incoming, if you will. Toxic reactions from our environment are plentiful today. And they can cause everything from mental acuity difficulties to exhaustion, fatigue patterns across the board. And one of the biggest culprits of I don't feel good, mental confusion, mental degradation has to do with heavy metals, toxic metals in our environment. And things like aluminum and arsenic and cesium and tin and thallium. You know, there's other toxic metals also that I haven't included in that, but we have to make sure that we look at things specifically like cadmium and mercury and lead. Those are the three primary culprits, and then can add arsenic to that. And arsenic, by the way, if you eat rice that is not grown outside the country or even outside the country, it should say organic, and otherwise it has high levels of arsenic in it. And you have to be very, very careful of what you're doing. There's a whole problem with a lot of the imported foods. You know, so these metals can cause your brain not to work. And it can cause all kinds of patterns from, as I said, fatigue, and I don't feel good, and I hurt all over. And by the way, mercury and aluminum will cause the outer wrapper of long nerves, the myelin sheath, to begin to break down. It can cause MS-like conditions, increase your risk of Parkinson's, anything that is a central neurological problem affecting one side of the body or the other. There's a lot of direct correlation. Do your homework on this stuff. It's out there. All you have to do is look. You know, there's excellent ways of detoxifying, and there's ways of getting rid of this stuff. But first, you have to understand that these things happen because of our exposures. Everything from, how many of you, you know, and if you're older than, you know, 30, you probably had a heavy metal filling put in your mouth at one point, a silver filling. Well, silver filling is half mercury. And if you look at the silver filling a year after it's been put in place, the content of the silver filling, the mercury in it, most of it is, about 50% of it is gone. Where did it go? It went into your body. And your body tries to protect you, puts it into fat cells, but it also goes into neurological pathways. And now it causes a slow degradation of immune reaction and brain function over a period of time. It's going to affect the mitochondria. The mitochondria are those little energy packs that you have in your body. They're concentrated heavily in the heart and in the brain. And when the toxic burden of these metals begin to build up, you end up with these mitochondria not working. They're basically poisoned. They're intrinsically poisoned. And, you know, so we just talked about dental fillings. Then we go get into vaccinations. Any of the vaccines, the injections that you're getting, many of them, including the flu shot, including shingles and so forth, anything that is a somewhat dead virus, is called an attenuated virus, has as its stabilizer something called thimerosal, and that's mercury, or they have aluminum, or both. And so you're getting this stuff, and it compounds over a period of time. Your body tries to protect you. That's one of the reasons you're seeing dramatic increased risk of mental problems, and you're seeing problems with kids going into non-diagnosed neurological aberrant states in adults as well. You're seeing autistic patterns or autistic-like syndromes occur. And, you know, it was interesting. I have a picture, you know, of a child who has measles. And it was one of the worst cases of measles I'd ever seen in my life. You know what? That kid was inoculated for measles. But his little brother, who was not inoculated, came home, didn't have measles, but brought it home. He was a carrier, and they must have drank out of something or whatever. But here's this boy who was inoculated, who, by the way, because of that, had mercury and had aluminum and so forth as a stabilizer in that vaccination, broke out one of the worst cases I've seen in all the years that I've been in practice. So we're not being protected. You know, common metals that wreak havoc with the mitochondria, the ones that are the primary, they break down this ability to produce energy. It's called ATP, by the way, if you want to know the technical piece. It's called adenosine triphosphate. Is aluminum and arsenic and tin and thallium. Interesting, right? So aluminum is very prevalent across the board. How many of you cook with aluminum? How many of you wrap your meats in aluminum and then put it in the oven? Do you think you're not getting that? But from your antiperspirants to aluminum cans to foils to your cookware, across the board, aluminum poison enzymes transport into these little mitochondria, these little energy areas, and they impede your ability to produce your own optimal energetic pathways. So when you remove aluminum and other mitochondrial poisons, you see dramatic uptake in people's energy levels. They suddenly get well. Patients come into our practice, and they tell me that they're not feeling good, they're tired, and so forth. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to look at heavy metals. And if you look at the heavy metals in patients with chronic fatigue patterns, or I just don't feel good, or so forth, suddenly you find something that you can point to. You know, we know these cause these kind of problems. If you have a brain in your head, you know they cause the problems. And then you take them out, and they feel better. Arsenic, you know, is found in antibiotics. And these antibiotics are fed to conventionally raised, you know, chickens and eggs and beef and so forth. And, you know, arsenic is across the board. The only way you can avoid it is you got to eat organic. You know, we talked about it earlier. Rice is another common source of arsenic. And you got to avoid brown rice. And it's prevalent in brown rice above all the other ones. Other sources, by the way, include wine and apple juice and drinking water. So if you're not drinking organic wines, you got high levels of arsenic. So why is that a problem? Well, we talked about how the brain works and these ATP areas and so forth. Tin, you know, we talked about tin, right? So tin affects the mitochondria as well, but a little differently than other ones. You know, the membrane of the mitochondria needs to have a certain positive-negative charge. And like anything else in your body, actually, this is not alone, but tin dispels that charge. It breaks it down. It doesn't allow it, you know, to balance itself. So subsequently, it handicaps, if you will, the mitochondria. And subsequently, we have higher and higher levels of tin causing these problems. There's this thing called thallium, and it's a gasoline additive, among many other things. So, you know, when you're around and you smell gasoline and you have air pollution, you know, due to smog that comes off from car fumes, thallium is what's added to gasoline for the same reason lead used to be added to gasoline. So instead of lead, now they put thallium in it. And it reduces the knocking in the engine and increases your performance, supposedly. Well, lead was successfully removed some years ago. We got that out, right, because we knew that it was a problem. And the public went crazy and said, yeah, it's killing people and it's destroying our bodies. But what did they do? They put thallium in instead. So, but few people are aware of the outstanding health effects. And I don't mean outstanding good. I mean outstanding bad. Thallium is a major factor in chronic fatigue, major across the board. So, you know, if you're standing there and you put the hose in your tank and you go, that gasoline smells good. Some people like the smell of it. I don't know why, but they do. And, you know, but you're in an area, you're in a congested area like Washington and or any of the major metropolitan areas, you're going to get high levels of pollution, even though we're cleaning things up. Can you imagine overseas, you know, where they don't have the restrictions of lead, but they still use thallium in other areas? It's crazy. There's many ways of testing for this. One of the most important ways of testing for any kind of heavy metal in your body is called a provocative urinary challenge, and it's done with DMSA. DMSA stands for dimethycaptosuccinate, and it causes the heavy metals to be grabbed out of the tissue and dumped in the urine so they can actually be measured. A lot of people have mercury, you know, because of the fillings and because of inoculations. And they destroy the bacteria in the gut as well as causing brain degradation and so forth. And there are many other things. But here's the one thing that you have to remember about heavy metals. They stack on top of each other. Just because you got a little bit of one and a little bit of another, they are exponentially cumulative, and your body can't get rid of them. Your body tries to protect you as best it possibly can, and it stacks one on top of the other, one on top of the other. You're continually exposed, so you have to make sure that you're aggressive in your detoxification processes. Now, once it affects the neurological pathways and it starts degrading or dampening down the body's capacity to function, now, not only you have to get them out of the body, you have to detoxify the system, and you have to start with the gut. If the gut is permeable and you try to detoxify this stuff, guess what happens? You're going to reabsorb them. So now you've got to get not only get rid of them, but you first have to fix the gut. And then you've got to reset the energetic platforms and the neurology of the body because it's been busted. It's been broken. It's like, you know, overload the circuits in your house and you blow all the circuits. Now you've got to really get... There's far infrared saunas and laser and so forth are critical, and there's things that we can do with that, but we deal with these conditions all the time. Patients come in who have MS, patients come in with Parkinson's, patients who come in, I just don't feel good. We look at these very specifically, and fortunately, it can be reversed. We're coming up to a break, and you know, this has been an interesting program. I'd love to talk to you more about it, like forever, and to give you much more that you can challenge people on, because that's what it's all about. Health is in your hands. It's your right. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Neuromuscular dentistry is more than just teeth and gums. Temporomandibular joint disorder can be painful, and only a skilled neuromuscular dentist can diagnose and treat it. If you are in pain and suffering from TMD, call the neuromuscular dentistry experts at Soft Touch Dental Care. Learn more about TMD and how Dr. Michael Chung has successfully treated his patients. Call 703-319-6990 for a complimentary consultation or visit bestinsmile.com. That's 703-319-6990 or visit bestinsmile.com.
This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. After 38 years of practice and almost a million patient visits, the Rozelle Center for Healing knows what works and knows how you can take control of your health and wellness. My team of doctors practice 21st century integrative medicine. Whether you suffer from chronic pain and fatigue, allergies, or headaches, we can help. Take charge of your health before it's too late. Make an appointment today. Call 703-698-7117 or visit online at rozellecare.com. That's rozellecare.com.
At the Rozelle Center for Healing, we care about your health and want to help you take your health in a new direction, far from drugs and surgery. Knowledge is the key to optimal wellness and control of your health. We offer free health education on chronic health conditions and natural integrative medicine treatments. Attend Your Workplace May Be Harmful on Wednesday, April 18th at 7 p.m. Space is limited, so register today. Call 703-698-7117 or visit rozellecare.com. That's rozellecare.com.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle live in studio. You know, we're here every Thursday at the Rozelle Center for Healing doing different talks, Wednesdays doing different talks. And we want to encourage you. We want to let you know that those programs are for you. Go online at rozellecare.com. And check out all the different programs that we do. We do them specifically to educate you, to give you the power that you need to have to control your life. Little things like we're talking about today with brain body function, impact of injuries, exposures to inoculations, the foods that you eat. It's important that you know, if you make a decision that is non-supportive, but you have the information, then it's on you. But my job is to make sure that you get the information. So we encourage you, join us anytime that you would like. There's no charge to our programs. Go to rosellecare.com, R-O-S-E-L-L-E-C-A-R-E.com, rosellecare.com. Go down and check it out. We've got a program coming up next week. We have always patient education orientation programs, our healthcare workshops, and in addition to very specific topics. And by the way, one of my patients the other day asked me, he said, you know, you really are serious about coming to different groups and organizations. I said, yeah, absolutely. She said, well, I took you up on it. I talked to Sybil McFarlane, and we scheduled a program, and, you know, you guys are really coming out. I said, of course we're coming out, and it's not costing us anything. No, it's not costing you anything. We do it in conjunction with Caring for Others, which is a Virginia-based 501c3, and our whole purpose is to give you data, to give you information, to give you the capacity, the ability to think differently than you do now. You know, what would it mean to you if you knew exactly what to do with your health? What would it mean to you and to your family if you can control everything that was going on with you, that if you didn't have to live with the idea of take these pills for the rest of your life? See, I'm this crazy guy that believes as long as you're breathing, that the ultimate state of health is your God-given wellness. That's meaning that you're running on 100% all the time. And the only time that we stop is when we quit moving forward. So when we feel that there's nothing that can be done, there's always something that can be done, no matter what the condition is, no matter what the situation is. Dealing with a woman who has very aggressive cancer, and, you know, her physicians have told her, well, she can either go through huge amounts of chemotherapeutics, or they can send her to hospice and she can die. You know, and she's sitting there and she's very vibrant, and I'm saying, really? They had the audacity to say that to you? There's so many other things that are available, not only in this country, but around the world, and there's absolutely no reason for anybody to buy that diagnosis. What doctor has the right to tell you that you're going to die? I don't think so. There's so much more that you can do, but it has to start with your willingness to grab a hold of information, apply it properly, move forward with it, and accept the responsibility to be the master of your own ship. You know, Ageless Health, Health is a Do-It-Yourself program that I wrote about 5 years ago, was designed simply because I wanted you to have the ability to think differently. We do the radio program because I want you to think differently. We do our in-house programs because I want you to have the information, the capacity to be able to take action. We're there because we treat multidimensionally. We look at all the different facets, you know, from your neurology, from your biochemistry, from your energetic platform, and we try to treat from a multidimensional point of view. That's what we do at our office that is so different than any place else that you'll ever go. That's why our guys are some of the best in the business. That's why they continue to go to school. They continue to understand. They continue to apply things differently. You have to be a partner in that, though. You can't have something done to you. You have to be involved in the resolution of your condition. If you're not, then you are abdicating your responsibility. But it starts with education. It starts with making yourself aware that there is a different way of handling things and making sure you do that. Again, my heartfelt condolences to the family of Mike McKay. Mike is going to be sorely missed here, not only at the radio station, but all of us have known him for so many years. A stalwart, an amazing human being, somebody that I call friend. We're coming up to the break. We'll see you next week. We love you all. Bye.